Psalm 146. I have been reminding you all the Psalms emphasize Christ. Every Psalm reminds us in some way about the Lord Jesus. Christ is in the Psalms. And we must learn the holy art of finding Him in the Psalms. This morning we're going to visit a funeral procession, but we want to go to that funeral procession with Psalm 146 upon our minds. Psalm 146 is a Hallel psalm, that is, it is a praise psalm. It is a psalm that begins with "Praise ye the Lord" and ends with "Praise ye the Lord." It's the first of five Hallel psalms that close the Psalter, praising the Lord. For the Lord is worthy to be praised. He is to be trusted, this psalm reminds us. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. You're not to put your trust in man. You're not to put your trust in man because he's going to the grave, he's weak, he's dying. That day he dies, his very thoughts perish. He can't do anything for you. There's no help in man. You're to trust in the Lord. He's our hope. He's our help. Doesn't it say there in verse 5, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help"? Our help is in God, which made heaven and earth. Therefore, trust in him at all times, ye people. He is the one who is to reign forever and ever. Verse 10, "The Lord shall reign forever and ever, even thy God, O Zion." He is the one who remembers his covenant. Verse 6, "which keepeth the truth forever." He remembers his promises to Israel, that he shall come in the seed of the woman. He shall keep his covenant and shall come. Lo, I come, he says, as it is in another psalm. But how are we going to know him when he comes? And this psalm tells us, how will the Lord show his glory? How will he manifest his power? And this psalm tells us, verse 7, he executes judgment for the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord preserves the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. All these things Jesus Christ does. All these things Jesus Christ has done. He fed the multitude. He gave food to the hungry. He opened the eyes of the blind. He raised those that were bowed down. You remember the bowed down woman? He did that. When he comes, you'll know it. He's the one that does these things. He will manifest his glory. And the apostles saw that he did these things. And the apostles say, we saw his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The glory of the one who is revealed to us in the Psalms. But the expression that I want to especially draw your mind to this morning and to consider are the words in verse 9. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. Both are often together in Scripture. The fatherless and the widow. They are named together often. And when he comes, when the Lord of glory comes, that's what he'll do. He'll relieve the fatherless and the widow. You know, whenever the man of the house dies, it's a great loss. The children are left fatherless and the spouse is left a widow. And God says in his word, a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. He's a judge of the widows. How does he judge the widows? Not the same way he judges the wicked. He judges her poor and needy. He judges her helpless and hopeless. He judges her as needing help and relief. And he provides it too. Because it says he relieveth. He relieveth the widow. He raiseth up the widow. He helps the widow. He casts down the wicked, but he doesn't cast down the widow. He raises and lifts up the widow. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. The Lord sees the widow. That's our subject this morning. The Lord sees the widow. To relieve, you have to see. You can't relieve if you don't see. You can't help the need if you don't see the need. You can't help the needy if you don't see the needy. To help the needy, you have to first see the needy. And that's our theme this morning. The Lord sees the needy. The Lord sees the widow. Write that on your heart. The Lord seeth, the Lord relieveth the widow. Carry it with you now into the Gospel of Luke. And let us attend a funeral this morning. We're joining a funeral procession this morning. We're in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. It's leaving the city of Nain this morning. The name means beauty. And indeed, the location is beauty. It's pretty. It lies just below Mount Moriah, or that little mountain not far from Nazareth. You can look across it from Nazareth. It's called Little Hermon. And at the foot of Little Hermon, there's a beautiful little village. It's called Nain. The scene this day, however, is not so pretty. It's a dark day for the town, because one of its sons has died. And Luke records the scene thus, in Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. And when he came nigh to the gates of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. He came and touched the bier. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a great fear on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. Notice how the story ends. The shout goes up, God hath visited his people. That's just what has taken place. That's just what has happened at the gates of Nain. It was God this day who visited his people. It was Psalm 146 that was being fulfilled. He relieveth the fatherless. Even this boy on the bier, he raised him up. He relieved him. And in relieving him, he relieved his mother. He lifted up her heart in lifting up him from the bier. God visited. As we contemplate it, let us join the procession of death. Nearly all the city is present, it says. The long line has just made its way through the narrow streets from the widow's house. It has wound its way to the gate. At the front of the procession, the sorrowing widow stands behind the bier. She leads away with the coffin in front of her and the young man carrying it. He is on top of a slab of timber as he is being borne to the grave by his male relatives or friends. Behind him, the widow is walking, weeping sore, brokenhearted. It's the young man's mother. She mourns not only for a son, but she mourns for an only son. She is bereft of all the men in her life now. She now is alone, lonely and without support. And the helpless mourners just look at her, helplessly accompanying her to the cemetery, which lies just a little beyond the city walls. But lo, this procession of death meets another procession. There's another procession coming over the valley. They can see it. It's a plane. It's making its way to the city of Nain and to the very gate. And as the one leaves the city, the other winds its way towards that very procession, and they meet. That procession is a large one as well, because it says he has his disciples with him and much people. That procession is as large as the procession of death coming out of the city, and both processions are going to meet. At the head of the one procession is death. At the head of the other procession is life. Because at the head of it stands Jesus, leading the procession of life, leading it, he who is the resurrection and the life, leading it to meet death. And both meet together. At the head of death's procession is grief and tears. At the head of the other procession is joy and gladness. For a Savior has come. There stands at the head of that procession of life the one that I have described for you in the psalm that is now imprinted upon your mind. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. Here he is. Here's the Lord who comes. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. Here he is now. He's described. I want you to notice how it all begins. In verse 13. When the Lord saw her. The Lord saw her. That's where it begins. We have to pause here this morning. There's a sermon for your soul here this morning. The Lord saw her. We have to think about that. That's where the relief begins. Not before. Only when at last the Lord sees her. That's where it begins. It can only begin there when the Lord sees your need. Notice it. The Lord saw her. That's where the change begins. Everybody saw her. She's the center of attention. Everybody feels for her. Everyone looks at the tears that flow down her face. Everyone's heart breaks for her. But their seeing her was hopeless and helpless. But the Lord saw her. She's broken. Her garments are like her heart, rent in pieces. And everybody helplessly looks on. But now something different is taking place. The Lord saw her. You know, congregation, man is impotent. There is no help from that quarter. Put not your trust in princes, didn't the psalm say, nor in the Son of Man in whom there's no help. A helpless procession. And all men are like that dead man, dying, going to the cemetery, going to the tomb. Everybody's going to the tomb. But there's one who meets this procession of death. It's Jesus. He saw her. That makes a difference. The emphasis is upon the Lord. This is the first time Luke uses the word in his narrative description of the Lord. The Lord. He brings it in here. It's the Lord that saw her. The one who is the hope of Israel. The one who keepeth truth forever. The one who relieveth the fatherless and the widow. Luke knows it. It's the Lord that saw her. Here he is. Brethren and sisters, if the Lord but see us in our misery, that's enough. There's no salvation for any soul until he sees us and finds us. And don't we hide from him? Isn't the history of mankind one of hiding from the Lord? One of not wanting the Lord to see us? Ever since our first father sinned, sinners have tried to escape the Lord's gaze, have tried to hide from the Lord's sight, but cannot. He sees us going to the grave, even whenever we would hide from him. You remember how way back at the beginning, whenever death first entered, whenever this terrible enemy that leads this procession, whenever that terrible enemy first entered the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve were infected by sin and the seeds of death were implanted in their human nature. Who was in the garden then? It was the Lord. And what was Adam doing? He was hiding. He was hiding in the trees and he was trying to hide behind fig leaves. But the Lord saw him. He saw Adam and Eve in their misery. And what did he see? He saw sad, sinful wretches. He saw sinners in despair, hiding from God. But he came into the garden, and he found them, and he saw them. In the presence of death, the Lord saw them. Jesus sees us in distress. Like that very day, he saw them in the Garden of Eden in the distress of their sinfulness. He had compassion on them. And now here he is again, walking in the valley near Nazareth, and he sees this widow woman. He even saw her before he saw her here. He saw her when she washed and prepared the body in the home. He saw her then, for he came to her, to meet her there as she takes the body out. He saw her in eternity past. He saw her before the world was, in the decrees of God. He saw this day, and now he comes, and through human eyes, at last through human eyes, he saw her. The Lord sees. We should never forget that, congregation. The Lord sees. What did the psalmist say? O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising, even in my house, even when I sit down, even when I get up in the morning. You know how I feel. You know how low I sink. You know how high and lifted up I become. Thou understands my thought afar off. The Lord sees. Thou compassed my path and my lying down. You're acquainted, Lord, with all my ways. There's not even a word in my tongue that I can speak behind closed doors. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Thou seest me. The Lord saw. Isn't that what Hagar said? She called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. The Lord saw her. What did the psalmist say? Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into the bottle, Lord. You see, you know. Think often of the eyes of the Lord. That's what we're thinking about this morning. The eyes of the Lord. The Lord saw her. They are human eyes. For they are the eyes of Jesus of Nazareth. But it's God seeing through human eyes. Just as it is God visiting Nain, just as it is God working through human hands, so it is God seeing through Jesus' eyes, because Jesus is God. The Lord saw her. You know, God sees us, but he sees us through the eyes of Jesus. He does. And that's a wonderful thought. The Lord saw her. He saw her. You know, the Lord sees people, but he doesn't see them as trees walking. He sees them individually. He sees them as souls. He sees them as precious. He sees them as everlasting beings. He sees them brokenhearted and sin-stained. He sees them as sin-burdened souls. He saw her individually. Amongst the millions of the inhabitants of the earth, he saw her. He came from glory, the Most High, and descended to this place where we are all but locusts in his sight. And he saw her. He sees the individual. Who is she? A poor widow? We don't even know her name. We know little about her apart from what's in the text. The Lord saw her. You know, we may be nothing. And after we're dead, our name will be forgotten and the name will wear off our headstone and we'll be gone and that'll let nobody will ever remember us anymore in the place where we were. Nobody will have a clue about it. And what are we? We're nothing. But the Lord saw her. The Lord saw her. Jesus saw people. I cannot but emphasize that. He didn't come into the world to go window shopping. He didn't come into the world to watch TV. He didn't come into the world to go into the sports stadiums of the land and to view this and that and the other. He was of purer eyes. He came to see the poor and needy in their misery. He came to see souls, for he came to find souls, and he came to die for those souls. This is Jesus. You know, study this in the Bible, in the Gospels especially, the seen Messiah. They're always writing it down, what Jesus saw. The Holy Spirit is always drawing them to look through the eyes of Jesus as they write the Gospels and as they record. And I just give you a few samples. When Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two fishers, Simon and Andrew. He saw them. That's what the Bible says. And then he called them. You can't do anything till Jesus sees you. That's always the first thing. The Lord saw them. And you remember whenever he came into Peter's house, having left the synagogue, I'm sure he was tired, having spoken there and having preached there and having wrought miracles there, and he comes into the house, and he would just like to sit down, no doubt, like all men, and have their dinner. But when he came into the house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law. He saw her. She wasn't fit to see him, for she was taken with a fever and she was poorly. But he saw his wife's mother led, the Bible says. And then you remember that poor woman who had the issue of blood. She touched the hem of his garment. She didn't want Jesus to see her. She wanted to run away and hide and not even be noticed by anybody, at least of all by Jesus. But the Bible says when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort." Do you remember whenever he was making his way out of Jericho? Making his way out of Jericho with the crowds. Zacchaeus was there. He couldn't see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. He didn't want Jesus to see him, but he wanted to see Jesus. And he climbed up into a high tree and he looked down and he sees Jesus coming. He doesn't think Jesus will see him, but Jesus stopped. He looked up. And you know what the Bible says? He saw Zacchaeus. He saw him. There's nothing happens till Jesus sees you. He saw Nathanael coming. "Behold, an Israelite indeed, and who is no guile. And I tell you more, Nathanael, than that. Not only do I see you coming, whenever you were under the fig tree, I saw you." I saw you. All the time the gospel writers are telling us this. The Lord saw her. Remember the woman taken in adultery? All the eyes are upon her. Everybody's looking at her. Jesus didn't look at her. He hung his head. And then he wrote on the ground. Whatever he wrote, it really got into the consciences of those men. And they all went. They all departed. All those self-righteous hypocrites. They all went. And then Jesus lifted up himself. And the Bible says he saw none but the woman. He saw the woman. The despised woman, the miserable woman, the sin-stained woman. He saw her, but he saw her in a way that none of those other men saw her. And on we could go. As he passed by, we read in the temple one day, he saw a man which was blind. The blind man didn't see Jesus. He didn't know anything about it. Jesus is in a rush out. He's escaping being taken by them and stoned. And he's rushing out. But he's not rushing so fast as that he can't see a blind man. He saw a man who was born blind. He saw him. Remember, he's in Bethany. Jesus saw her weeping. And he saw the Jews also weeping. And he groaned in the spirit. And then you remember on the cross. Even on the cross. You know, whenever you're in your agony and pain and everything's out of joint and all is dislocated and you're in the pain and agony and you've lost all the fluid that Jesus must have lost enough to kill any man. You don't see anything. But Jesus, the Bible says, saw his mother. He saw her. Jesus sees. He sees. He sees you today. In your misery, in your need, in your sinfulness, in your affliction, in your trouble. He saw her. He didn't see her as sinless. He didn't see her as worthy. He saw her as wretched, sad, and miserable. And he sees us all like that. This is where it all begins, the story. In the eyes of the Lord. That's where it all takes place. In his eyes. When once he sees you. What does it say concerning Noah? All the world is wicked, but Noah found grace. Where did it begin? The Bible says where it began. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord saw him. Do you remember David said, "So let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord." Everybody's out to kill him. He's pursued. He's lonely. He's miserable. Let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord. And let him deliver me out of all tribulation. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he said. That's all I need. If I shall find favor in his eyes, if he'll but see. The Lord saw. The ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, the Bible says. And the eyes of the Lord are in every place. The Lord saw her. The Lord has looked upon her in her affliction. The poor widow. The poor sonless soul. Brethren and sisters, if we but get the eyes of the Lord to look upon us, it is enough. If he but sees us in our lowest state, then we shall be helped. Was not the key, that the key to Israel's deliverance out of Egypt? All those hundreds of years in bondage, didn't he see them in their bondage? Yes, at last he looked upon them. He looked upon them. What did the Bible say? Exodus 4, verse 31. The people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon them, he had looked upon the affliction of the children of Israel. Do you see how visitation and looking comes together? He had visited Israel and he had looked upon their affliction. God had visited his people, they said, after they saw this resurrection. But where did it begin? It began with him not only visiting them, but seeing them. He visited and he saw. Child of God, if the Lord but visits you, then he'll see you. And that'll be enough. That'll be enough. That's where it all begins. Whatever the story is that continues, whatever the help, whatever the miracle, whatever the deliverance, whatever the relief. But here's how the story begins. The Lord saw her. God's people in their misery. Pray for this very thing. Look thou upon me, the psalmist says. Or just look upon me. If you but see me, let the Lord look on mine affliction. Just look, Lord. Just but see me. That's what David said. He's leaving Jerusalem. He's being pursued by Absalom, his son. It's all finished with him, so he thinks. And then there comes this one out of the house of Saul, mocking him, discouraging him all the more. And what does he say? Let him alone. If the Lord but look on my affliction, that's what I want. I don't want you to go and carry his head off. That'll not do any good. But if the Lord but look. The Lord saw her. What a deep scene that was. The Lord doesn't see as man sees, you see. We see and yet we don't see. We only half see. We see weakly and poorly. We see and yet we're blind. Really? But he who openeth the eyes of the blind truly sees, he fully sees, he hath no blindness, and when he saw her perfectly and completely, and without any fault, or without any short-sightedness. He that planted the eye, shall he not see? The Lord sees beyond. He sees deep. He sees the truth. He sees the reality. He sees the situation as it is. He sees through the forest. He sees through the fig leaves. He sees through the covering that we all make. He sees it as it is. The Lord, you remember, said to Samuel, don't look on the countenance. Don't look on the surface. Don't be misled by the height of his stature. The Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man, he just looks on the outward appearance. But the Lord sees into the heart. The Lord saw into her heart that day. He saw beyond even her tears. He could see there weren't crocodile tears. He could see there weren't shoe tears. He could see that there weren't performance tears just for the event. He could see the tears of the soul, which are real tears. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. You remember how the disciples prayed? One of their first prayers that are revealed in Scripture after the ascension of Jesus, they realized they had to replace one of the apostles. And how are we going to get an apostle? And what are we going to do? Well, we'll ask Jesus. And the Bible says they prayed. And they said, Lord, thou which knowest the hearts of all men, Lord, you who see, you who saw the poor widow, Lord, choose you this day who will be your apostle. Everything's naked and open before him. All things are manifest in his sight. He himself said to one of the churches in the book of the Revelation, it's me who searches the reins and the hearts. Are you a Christian today? Well, you know why you're a Christian? Because the Lord saw you. He saw you in your lost state. He saw you before you saw him. And even yet you don't see him right or clearly as he ought to be seen, but he sees you. He saw you in the dunghill. He saw you in the bogmire. He saw you before the world was. He saw you when he came into the world for you. He saw you when he died for you upon the cross. What does the psalmist say? Who remembered us in our lowest state, for his mercy endureth forever. Didn't we sing it this morning? Didn't we sing it? He saw you when he came forth from the tomb. He saw you when he ascended up in high in glory. He saw you when he sits down at the right hand of God, and he sees you now from that place where he sits. And he will come again to receive you unto himself. And he will see you throughout all eternity. And you will never be from his gaze. And he will never lose sight of you. And what is more, you will see him face to face. And know him and see him as he knows you and sees you. For you will see him as now he sees you. Dear unconverted friend, this is your answer today. In the procession of life that we are making, it is really a procession of death. We are journeying in the journey of life, and where are we going? We're going to the same place where this procession's going. We're going to the cemetery. You know what journey you're on? You're on a journey to the tomb. You're on the journey to the grave. You're on the journey to the judgment day. You are on the journey to hell itself. That's the journey you're on. It's not the journey of life. It's the journey of death. It's like this procession coming out of Nain. You're on the walk to the tomb. You're on the broad road to destruction. We're all in that lane. And you cannot go to the grave without meeting a Savior along that journey and him seeing you. This is your answer. The Lord to see you. In your misery and in the misery of your sinfulness, you must encounter Jesus Christ. And he sees you. He sees you in the gospel. and seeing you in the gospel, he calls you in the gospel. And he says, look up, look on to me. Here he is as he comes across the valley towards the foothill of Mount Moriah. Here he is, he's coming across to you in the gospel. Stop and look to him and say, Lord, look upon me. Look upon mine affliction. Look upon my pain. Look upon me in the misery of my fallen sinfulness. Look upon me and forgive all my sins. Psalm 25. Forgive all my sins. O Lord, the sins of my youth, do not thou remember anymore. Look upon me. Look upon me. And once he looks upon you, he'll have compassion on you. And then he'll speak. And what a mighty voice that will be in your heart. And so stand and wait and look for Christ.